JC Corcoran Podcast.
I really believe, by the way, that I have distilled the worst problem with men and the worst problem with women, and I think this is a good place to start. The problem with men don't hear a word women say. The problem with women hear every word men say. And by the way, we want you to cut it out. We can't do it. Now, first of all, obviously we're different, men and women. We have very different memories. We're very selective on the things we forget. We all know that the same guy who has no trouble memorizing every batting average since 1931 somehow can never remember his girlfriend's birthday. And the same woman who can tell you which scarf she wore on your fifth date somehow can't recall how long the oil light's been flashing on the dashboard. Neither can I, by the way, but never mind that now. We look at the world differently. Men love to wrap their egos in huge issues. Men love to think they're in charge of all sorts of things. Oh, boy, you know. My mother has said this for years about my father. My mother has always said, oh, your father takes care of the big things in life, like, are the planets still circling the sun? I take care of the little things like, Milt, I think you just hit an antelope. Oh, and by the way, the oil light's flashing. Women do hear every word men say. I hope if there's a guy here who doesn't believe that, you really should. Women hear every word. Worst for men, by the way. Worse even. Women remember every word men say. No, they're amazing at that. I'm telling you, the CIA could save a lot of money on all that wiretapping equipment if they just hired more women. I'm telling you, the next time one of these government guys got on the witness stand and said, gee, you know what happened so long ago, I can't remember what I said. And then the woman could go, I do. You do? Oh, yes. He said it's illegal to sell guns, and he said we have to support the rebels. Then he said, did you get all the money in advance? And then he said, yes, I have it all right here. Oh, and then they watched porno movies. I think it was Long Dong Silver. Your Honor! She couldn't possibly remember all that. Of course she can, you idiot. She's a woman. Oh, that's right. True. And men don't hear a word. Men do not hear a word. It's literally, the words don't go in the ear. There's an enzyme missing, and the words just keep... Right on. If you could just hear the way we hear... Our ears are different. Our ears are like shortwave radios that never quite come in. Our ears are just always a thing. We catch a phrase every so often. Like, cars in the shop. New curtains. Everything to us sounds like a train going by. Just don't forget dinner Saturday night. See, that's actually the way we hear. Hey, maybe that helps knowing that, huh? Men don't hear a word women say. And if the TV is on, good luck now. I mean, you might as well be talking to someone on life support. You know. And if it's a ball game.
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before?
It is the 4th of October, 2021, here at jcontheline.com. How you doing, kids? It's a Monday, and we are rolling. A lot of people a little bleary-eyed after having stayed up to watch a football game that probably should have been over at halftime. You know, we had a baseball game yesterday at 12 noon, and the guys on my team were all talking about, oh, you know, I have to stay up late tonight because Tom Brady is going to pull these guys apart like boiled chicken. And guess what? The network is, well, I guess the network was sort of happy. There was so little scoring in the first half and then not much more in the second half, but it was a close game, and of course the Bucks pulled it out, winning by 2 points. And the internet, for some reason, seems obsessed with Rodney Harrison having his own umbrella holder on Sunday Night Football. Some of the other reporters on the sideline did. You have to ask yourself, you know, with all of the focus, all of the attention, and it is Sunday Night Football. It is NBC. It's the major network. It's a big, big deal. You know, they try to tell you that you've been waiting all week for Sunday night. It's a game outside. They have access to weather forecasts. And for some reason, they're all standing on the sideline holding umbrellas in a driving rainstorm, which was predicted to occur. They didn't build them just like a little tent so they could all sit there at their desk. You know, that's what they do with the other shows. They put them all sitting there, you know, and they have a little umbrella over the top of the thing, which is out of the shot. They don't want you to see that. But that's why the guys get to sit there in suits and ties, you know, down in the corner of the end zone before the game and at halftime and a post game and everything like that. They built them a little set. No, Tom Brady returning to New England for the first time after leaving. Nah, nobody will be too interested in that. We don't have to build anything fancy. Tonight, by the way, on ESPN, Chargers hosting the Vegas Raiders. The big story, obviously, around St. Louis is the St. Louis Cardinals. That game is going to be played at 7 o'clock Central Time on Wednesday night. It's hard to believe, as I was saying last week, that one of those two teams is going to have to go home. Either the Cardinals or the Dodgers will have their season end late Wednesday night. I'm a little confused at what's going on at Bally Sports, which used to be Fox Sports Midwest. So we know now, obviously, Shannon isn't going to do any playoff games. So, you know, hasn't traveled now for a couple of years. But let's just say the Cardinals win on Wednesday, which we hope they do. And then they move on to the next series, and there will be games at Busch Stadium. And I guess Shannon isn't going to do them. He's done. The whole thing is over. So now you're going to get the new team. Now, Ricky Horton is going to go full-time radio next year, so I guess they will just employ that this year. Bally Sports is done, so Dan McLaughlin is done with his rotating the list of guest color guys. They'll be rotating, you know, Jim Evans and Brad Thompson and the rest of those guys. And Ankiel is going to be in there, too. So we get another season of Dan McLaughlin mispronouncing Rick Ankiel's name because he says Rick Ankiel. And he's the only one who does it. Nobody apparently has told him that except me, which was a bizarre conversation. I've told you about this before. I saw him in the hallway of the press box, and I go, you say Rick Ankiel. It's Rick Ankiel. And he goes, yeah, Rick Ankiel. I'm like, no, Rick, he can't hear the difference. And of course, Shannon, let's, you know, some people will jump halfway up my colon, I'm sure, when I say this, but it was time. I mean, look, Mike Shannon was a great player for the Cardinals. He, you know, actually became a pretty good play-by-play guy, especially after Jack Buck passed away. But boy, it was time. It was time. I was talking with John Hewlett last night during the game. We were texting back and forth, and I said, is, you know, boy, he just sounds terrible. Is that what's going to happen to us? Are we still going to be on the radio or podcasting, whatever new thing they invent over the course of the next, you know, 10 to 15 years, whatever?
Are we going to be sounding like that? And now, by request, Wet Dream by comedian Kip Adada.
You know, Shannon was starting to get into Harry Carey territory for a while there. But it's over now. Hope he has a nice retirement. But, oh, yes, it was time. Oh, and by the way, Erica is going back to Los Angeles. That's where she's from. So, you know, I can't remember the last time there was that much shuffling of talent in the booth and in the coverage of the Cardinals with Shannon gone, moving Rick Horton over to radio permanently, and then Erica going back to L.A. So there'll be an opening for a sideline reporter next year and a studio co-host. I've talked about this before. There's something in the broadcast industry called issue advertising. Issue advertising. That is when a company, a business, whatever, uses their 30 seconds or their 60 seconds, not necessarily to promote their product but to or service, but to promote some sort of political issue. And for a couple of years now, and, you know, and the thing about it is radio stations, the Cardinals radio network, whatever the case may be, they turn down commercials all the time if they feel that the spot is not wholesome enough. In other words, you're not going to turn on the Cardinal game and suddenly hear a commercial for the Penthouse Club or PT's or something like that. And during the ball games, if there's a campaign going on, you're not going to hear political ads either. And there's a reason why, because the government has all sorts of rules and regulations about radio stations and TV stations having to offer political candidates the lowest rate available. Not all commercials cost the same, and that would be a much longer conversation. I'll have to explain that some other time. So in other words, the point I'm trying to make is just because somebody wants to advertise during a Cardinal game does not mean that the Cardinals radio network, KMOX, or Bally's, or anybody like that has to accept it. And yet, I am unaware, and I've been checking now for about 2 years, I am unaware of any Major League Baseball franchise that allows issue advertising during the games, but KMOX does, and the Cardinals do, and that is that Vitae organization. Vitae. And of course, Rick Horton, being a dyed-in-the-world Catholic and a proud member of that Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And by the way, those guys. If you only knew. There was a prominent member of the Cardinals a couple of years back. I'll only say that he was an infielder, and it was not uncommon for him to hang around at some of the bars and restaurants, shall we say, a little bit south of the ballpark. And like the Cardinals, let's just say they had a noon game on a Saturday or a 1 o'clock game on a Sunday, something like that. You know, the game's over by 3:30, 4 o'clock. And by 5 o'clock, this guy was at the bars. And by the end of the night, on at least one occasion, he had managed to procure, and this is legendary, by the way, you know, the people around the ballpark all know the story and they all talk about it. He was able to procure three different women to perform, shall we say, oral favors on him. Three in one evening. I witnessed a little bit of this man's activity, and that's all I'll tell you. Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And that's not the only one I could tell you about either. Back in the 80s, there was a left-handed reliever who was known in, shall we say, Cardinal Nation circles, but I'm talking about the behind-the-scenes stuff that you guys don't hear about. And he was known for having the highest number of women on the road willing to accommodate him. You think I'm making this stuff up? I'm not. You go on the road with the team, you see stuff that you see. It was 3 o'clock in the morning once on a road trip to Chicago, and I saw, let's just say, a prominent 1980s bass stealer get on an elevator at 3 o'clock in the morning with two women of the evening. I saw them all get on the elevator, and somehow it was going up, but they were going down. But this Vitae organization, it's an anti-abortion group, and they have the gall to talk about a woman-focused approach and just all this other ridiculous language that translates into, you know, you're 17 years old and you're preggers and you don't know what to do, but you heard this commercial on the Cardinal games, so you decide to go call up the Vitae organization thinking they're going to help you, and all they're going to help you do is have the baby because they don't do anything else. They are an anti-abortion group. Now, regardless of how you feel about abortion, you do have to wonder about the integrity of an organization that has to lie to you, mislead you about who they are and what they do in order to get your business. That's exactly what they do. And Rick Horton voices the commercials, and the Cardinals radio network airs them. And I still can't believe it. As I said, I'm unaware of any other Major League Baseball franchise in all of Major League Baseball that allows something like that. If you missed the edition of 60 Minutes last night, figure out some way to see it on demand because it was an incredible hour. I can't remember the last time all three stories they did were just blockbusters. So you had the first story, and that was about how completely unconscionable the activity behind the scenes at Facebook actually is. Then all these people who were in the military with the understanding and all the paperwork and legalities and everything like that about having their loans, student loans, deferred after you've been in the military a certain amount of time, and they have a little formula that, okay, if you are in the military this long, you borrow this much money, and then you pay back this much, you'll reach a point where the rest of the loan is forgiven. So these soldiers and military advisors, like these JAG people and everything, they're in the military, they do all this stuff, and then they get it in the ass when they get out. And then a real, really cool story about Tony Bennett, who is 95 now, has Alzheimer's, and they did a whole thing with Lady Gaga and everything. Anderson Cooper hit this out of the ballpark last night. So if you get a chance to see that, see that. Last Friday was National Black Dog Day. I mention that because everybody I tell this to seems very, very surprised and almost compelled to want to do something about it. And that is the fact that the euthanization rate of black animals at animal shelters and kennels and just good old-fashioned dog catchers, if you're a black animal, you stand very, very little chance of being adopted and to the end of the road for you. There are a couple of theories, and the two most popular ones are that people complain that black animals don't photograph well, which is nonsense. Take them outside. And then the other reason is just the standard connotation of a black animal, especially a black cat. So that's why we have two black cats and a black dog. But it also exposes the stupid stuff we as Americans believe. We're not going to adopt a black animal because, oh, never mind. Don't get me started on this. I always have the TV stations on so I can see what's going on. I don't want to miss anything, like a big traffic thing or something with the weather or just something that's going on. I have this Fox 2 thing over here on the corner. And as I mentioned last week, there are boob jobs and there are boob jobs. And Fox 2 has a new weather gal on in the morning. And it's one of those deals where I can barely see the map because her boobs are sticking out so much and they don't go with her body. She's actually, I'm surprised she didn't fall over on her face because she's so top heavy. It's ridiculous. They're fake. And we know it, honey. I don't know if that matters to you, but it does to me. But it does to me. The post office. Oh, this guy's been running the post office as a piece of work. I can't believe he's still in there. What's his name? Ken DeJoy or something like that? Anyhow, this guy's like, I'm running the post office. The only way that we can do things, the only way we can stay in business is first-class mail delivery. Used to be 3 days. Now it's going to be five. They're also talking about canceling Saturday delivery. One of the funniest stand-up bits from Jerry Seinfeld has to do with this very issue.
I think it's weird that we use the term mail for email and the postal service. What is the similarity in email, a digital fiber optic hyperspeed network, versus this dazed and confused distant branch of the Cub Scouts? Bumbling around the streets in embarrassing shorts and jackets with meaningless patches and victory medals. Driving 4 miles an hour, 20 feet at a time on the wrong side of a mentally handicapped Jeep. I love how the post office has this emotional financial meltdown every 3.5 years, that their business model from 1630 isn't working anymore. I cannot understand how a 21st century information system based on licking, walking, and a random number of pennies is struggling to compete. And they always push the Postmaster General out on TV to explain their difficulties, and he's all freaked out. He's got rings under his eyes, no shave. We can't make this work anymore. The infrastructure is killing us. We gotta go up a penny on the stamps. We're just trying to make it to the end of the month. And we're all sitting there at home going, hey, dude, relax. We don't even know how much a stamp is anymore. 48, 49, make it a buck. You're going to get there. You got some money left over. Buy yourself some pants and a real car. I would say to the Postal Service, since I'm here in Washington, if you actually want to be helpful to us, just open the letters, read them, and email us what it says.
Pretty solid stuff. Pretty solid stuff from Jerry Seinfeld. All right, so we had the season premiere of Saturday Night Live over the weekend. Kacey Musgraves, by the way, appeared to be naked while performing Justified. It was actually a nod to Robin Wright's character in Forrest Gump, who did the same thing. She even tweeted out a photo of something from the movie. Pretty good show. They got this new guy. What's his name here? James Austin Johnson. And all we heard about is the amazing Donald Trump impersonation that he did. And some of that stuff was online. We played it for you here last week. Well, he didn't do that. He did open the show. The cold open was with him imitating Joe Biden. And that was pretty good. And then at the end of Weekend Update, Michael Che and Colin Jost paid tribute to Norm MacDonald. They showed some of his old jokes, and they were really, really funny things. So now you got Kim Kardashian coming in this week. I don't know what to expect. I'm setting my expectations sort of low, though. We shall see. Back in 2018, a guy from Cleveland named John Walford was at the home of his then-fiancée, Judy, and she asked him to carry a box of vinegar jugs from her car to her basement. Well, he did. He carried the box through the back door, but then he tripped over Judy's shoes, tumbled down the steps. He had several broken bones, racked up over $80,000 in medical bills, lost more than $18,000 in income because he couldn't work for several months because he tripped over his fiance's shoes carrying the box of vinegar jugs down the stairs. Well, faced with this dilemma, John made the only sensible choice he could make, and that was to sue his own fiancée, claiming she created dangerous conditions in her home and failed in her duty as a host to protect a social guest from those conditions. That was written by a lawyer, could you tell? But this past Thursday, the suit was thrown out. The court ruled that Judy's shoes were open and obvious, and a person taking precautions would have seen them. The most fascinating part of this whole thing, the accident happened in February of 2018, and a year later, in May of 2019, the two of them got married. John sued in October of 2019, and now he's found out that he's not able to sue his now wife, and yes, they're still married. There are some things I just don't understand anymore. If you don't want your kids kidnapped, according to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, they say there's three times of day where the most kidnappings take place. One is between 7 and 9 o'clock in the morning. The other one is between 3 and 4. And then there's another one between 6 and 7. It's also when kids are most likely to be outside by themselves without an adult. A shooting range in Michigan is going to be closed temporarily while the authorities investigate complaints. And here's the quote, of bullets striking neighborhood homes, end quote. I hate when that happens. Guy from Missouri, 38-year-old James Kurtz, was trying to sell a catalytic converter on Facebook Marketplace last week. But in the background of the photo, there was a giant bag of meth along with a syringe. A Facebook user tipped off the cops. Investigators raided James's place last Wednesday, seized meth at a 38. He had previous felony convictions, so he's not supposed to have guns. By the way, James was asked about the photo, and he said he didn't realize the meth and syringe made the shot. He was charged with drug trafficking and unlawful possession of a weapon. All that taking place in a little town near the Lake of the Ozarks. Nothing like reinforcing a cultural stereotype. Huh? Got Halloween coming up in a couple of weeks, so we're getting lots of stats and data and things like that related to the holiday. People's heart rates were monitored while they watched 40 scary movies because somebody wanted to determine the scariest movie of all time. Well, the top three scariest movies were Host from 2020, Sinister from 2012, and Insidious from 2010. It is not a Hollywood movie or a a horror movie by any stretch of the imagination. But back around, it was the early 1970s, Anthony Hopkins did a movie with Burgess Meredith and Anne Margaret called Magic. For my money, the scariest movie ever. It also happens to be a very, very good movie. This is the movie where Anthony Hopkins is a ventriloquist, and he's playing small clubs in New York, and he's really sort of a socially awkward, you know, clumsy kind of guy, but he's got this act where the dummy sits on his lap and talks really, really filthy stuff. And the comedy club people just think it's the funniest thing ever. And a scout from The Tonight Show, played by Burgess Meredith, shows up at the comedy club and says, we're going to put you on national TV, and you're going to be a star, and I'm going to make you into the biggest thing in comedy, and blah, 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 blah. Well, Anthony Hopkins' character is not somebody who would handle pressure like that very, very well, and he starts to crack up. And that's all I'm going to leave you with. But there's a lot of movies that have the word magic in them. Just make sure you're getting the right one. But I'm telling you, if you don't get the shit scared out of you from this movie, I don't know what's running through your veins, because it ain't human blood. And by the way, a couple bought a house outside Washington, D.C. without knowing that there was an alleged case of possession there that inspired the movie The Exorcist. They said they're not worried, though, and listen to this quote. Demons aren't attached to locations. They're attached to people. End quote. What the hell was I thinking, right? This guy, this Robin Thicke, this is Alan Thicke's son, looks just like him. Singer, about 10 years ago, actually it was less than that, probably about 8 years ago, had this beautiful wife. And, you know, the thing plays out almost like the Tiger Woods story. It turns out that he hit on anything that squatted to pee. Her name was Paula Patton, the wife, and she was one of those tough ones who you didn't get a mulligan. You get caught cheating. Here's the windup in the pitch. Strike three, game over. Hey, wait a minute. And she just dropped him like a hot rock, divorced him practically on the spot. Then it turns out that one of his biggest hits ever, Blurred Lines, the publishing company that owned an old Marvin Gaye song said, hey, that's our song. All you did was change like one or two things. You're passing this off as your song. We want money. And by the way, they got money. It was the debut of one of the most devastatingly attractive women in the world right now, and that is actress and model Emily Ratajkowski, who is not shy about taking her shirt off. And in fact, she and another model were wearing flesh-colored underwear during the filming of the music video for Blurred Lines. Well, now she says that Robin Thicke groped her while they were filming the video. Says he came up behind her and just grabbed her boobs from behind, which is one of the great moves a man could make on a woman when you know it's consensual. When it is a model that you're seeing for the first time and she thinks she's there on business to make a music video. Oh, boy. All right, late night tonight, you got Seth Meyers on with Jimmy Fallon. That's confusing. John Stamos is on with Kimmel. Colbert has Juliana Margulies. Jamie Lee Curtis, you don't see a lot of her anymore. On with James Corden, and Seth Meyers has David Chase, the creator of The Sopranos. And by the way, there's been a lot of stuff I've seen on social media the last couple of days with the premiere of The Many Saints of Newark. People saying, oh, I was disappointed. I don't think it's a very good movie. I don't know what these people are talking about. I have no idea. It is your prerogative. It is your opinion. That's fine. But there's also an issue of credibility. And I don't know. I think anybody who went to see The Many Saints of Newark and came back disappointed, I don't know what the hell you were expecting, because you sat through a very, very good, very, very well-made movie. And then you get online trying to say it was no good. Mm-mm. 4 out of 5 corks from JC. Not that my review is the final word on anything, but, you know, I see an awful lot of movies. Daniel Craig getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this week. It'll be next to Roger Moore, the other 007, one of the other 007s. Natalie Morales leaving NBC to host The Talk. David Lee Roth retiring after his 5 upcoming shows in Vegas. Keith Moon once broke into Mick Jagger's hotel room dressed as Batman. All these tell-all books are coming out. This week, Katie Couric has a tell-all book coming out, and it is not kind to some of her competitors and co-workers on the Today Show. A couple of little blurbs have been released on that whole thing. Birthdays today from 50 Shades, it would be Dakota Johnson, 32. Alicia Silverstone, who at one time was one of the most attractive women in the world, I think, but she is as nuts as the day is long. Chews up her food for her little boy and then spits it in his mouth like a fucking bird. She's 45 today. Liev Schreiber, good actor, 54. Better actor than that, Christoph Waltz. Oh, my God. I'll see anything he's in. I'll see anything he is in. 65 today. Susan Sarandon and her giant boobs, 75. Space age officially began on this date in 1957 when the Soviet Union launched Sputnik, the first man-made satellite. I remember I was only 5 or 6 years old, and my dad used to take me out on the front steps in the middle of, like, January. Temperature would be zero, and we'd bundle up and go sit on the front porch and watch the thing go over, right over us in Chicago. Leave It to Beaver premiered on this date on CBS in 1957. And Janis Joplin joined the 27 Club for all the wrong reasons on this date in 1970. Jimi Hendrix, Jim Morrison, Kurt Cobain, Brian Jones of the Stones, Grateful Dead keyboardist Ron Pigpen McKernan, and of course Amy Winehouse, all members of that 27 Club. Yeah, but we'll end where we started, talking about last night's Sunday night football game and the return of Tom Brady to Gillette Stadium, this time as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. He kept it mostly professional, although there was an emotional moment when he was reunited with his old ball deflator. And with that, we say, have a great Monday. All right, we're here every weekday morning at 7 o'clock, give or take a couple of minutes, Monday through Friday. Absolutely free. If you miss a podcast, don't worry. We archive everything. Email me at jc@jcontheline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a great day. Back tomorrow. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.